there's a complementary nature to how the receiver talent can dictate the looks that you get running the football. And running the ball is just so much oftentimes about math. How many blockers you have versus how many box defenders they have. If you change the math for James Cook because you have better receiving talent that forces more too high coverage shells, yeah, I think you could see a really good rushing offense be even better in 2025.
Joe Marino of Locked On Bills with Joe DiBiase on the morning show earlier this week. As we get to say it, for the first of six times that I have counted, football's back.
Football is back.
The Chargers rookies have reported to camp. Soon the Buffalo Bills will as well.
A couple weeks.
Eh? Less than.
The report in 10 days. Because they report a day before it starts.
Less than 2 weeks.
Yes. Week and a half.
And then we'll be able to say football's back again.
Yep.
And then the Hall of Fame game will play.
See, I don't know. I've seen the Hall of Fame game probably once or twice. I don't know if that's football is back for me.
It's because there's professional football being played.
Is it professional?
Are they getting paid?
Are they?
Yes.
I don't know. I thought it could be a charity thing. I have no idea. I've just never been interested in watching older guys play football in the Hall of Fame game.
If they weren't getting paid, how do they fill the camp rosters to 90? Other than the hopes and dreams of getting a contract, you're getting paid.
No, yeah, I know.
For a second,
They're not doing it for free.
I thought you were saying, seeing old guys play football. I thought you were saying, are you talking about Hall of Famers playing football?
Maybe. I don't know anything
about
it.
That's what I thought you were saying.
That would actually be kind of cool.
I would rather see that than the Hall of Fame game.
What are you talking about? You don't want to watch Tim Boyle somehow make it into this game every year and secure a job because of it?
I don't. Not at all. Not at all.
Tim Boyle went on like this like weird streak of like how often he was playing in it.
He had a generational run for a little bit there.
Yes. But
yeah, I'm uninterested in that.
What are you talking about? You don't want to see Kellen Mond attempt to be a quarterback?
No. No, not at all. That's where I'm at with the Hall of Fame game. I can't say football is back for that.
Yes, you can.
But I can't.
Yeah, absolutely can.
What time's the game played? Like in the morning?
No.
Well, like, is it prime time? Like, what are we talking about?
Pretty sure it's like a Thursday night.
Hmm. I still can't. Maybe if the Bills
come
were playing
on, man.
In it,
where's your sense of whimsy?
I don't know. This might be the hill I die on. I can't say it.
You don't want to see Trey Lance?
No.
Dialing it up for the Chargers?
I've seen quite enough of Trey Lance in my lifetime. Enough for a lifetime.
You don't want to see Trey Lance dealing to Jalen Reagor?
No.
Those are first round picks.
I mean, Trey Lance, sure, but I don't know. I don't want to get too far into the Hall of Fame game, but it does not interest me.
You don't want a second half of Trey Lance versus Kyle Allen under center?
No, because it's just a preseason game, and I go through the preseason. The only reason I have to pay attention to it is because we end up hosting the pregame stuff for the preseason games. That's the only reason I have any interest, anything in the preseason.
Come on, where's your sicko mentality?
My first day of football is back, first Thursday night game of the season. That's where I'm at.
You know what the first Thursday night game of the season is? Hall of Fame game. We did it.
Okay. Is it on Thursday night?
Yes.
That's technically in the preseason, though. I'm talking about the regular season.
No, you just said.
First Thursday night game of the season. I didn't say preseason.
You said in the exact words.
Mm-hmm. First Thursday night game in the season.
First Thursday night game of the season.
The preseason is not the season.
I'll put a poll up. When is the football preseason considered back? Hall of Fame game or the Thursday night opener?
The first Thursday night game of the season.
It's not the season.
Is Thursday, July 1st
no.
of 2025.
Thursday, July 1st?
31st.
I was going to say July 1st was Tuesday. And I know because I turned 23.
Thursday, July 31st of 2025.
No, that's not the season. The first game of the season.
In Canton, Ohio on NBC and Peacock.
Yeah, no. It's still not the season, but
the over-under for points is 32.5. We are so back. Everyone has their sicko thing. Mine is the Hall of Fame game.
Yeah, mine will never be. I cannot stand. It drives me up a wall. They're literally just doing everything they can. Like, we got. Here's a little rant.
No, because then there's also the actual enshrinement of the Hall of Fame class, which is.
It should just be that.
No.
Why are we attaching meaningless players like Trey Lance to that? We should not.
We absolutely should. You want to know why? Because
why?
The NFL is a dichotomy of the greats to those that are fighting for roster spots. That is the beauty of sport, is it not? It's not just the best players in the league. It is the ones fighting for a chance to be amongst that. It is those fighting for a chance to be part of a roster.
I'm not speaking this into existence. I'm knocking on wood as I'm saying all this. What if Trey Lance pops an ACL in the Hall of Fame game? Oh my God, what a waste.
Ready?
You know?
That's also for, and you take that risk for the preseason because you're fighting for a job. That's the term, fighting. Like, it's not going to be pretty. It's oftentimes going to be ugly.
Yeah.
But you're telling me you can't romanticize Ben DiNucci dealing for the Buffalo Bills in the last preseason game?
I mean, that, we watched that. Like, that's different.
I watched this.
I don't. That's where I'm at. Then that's where I'm at.
It's football. It's the first Thursday night football game of the year.
It's not, though. Because
it
when
is.
I search first Thursday night football game of the year, it does not say that.
But it is.
But
how
it's
can
not.
You not be romantic about the Hall of Fame game?
I didn't say of the year. I said of the season.
I know.
And this is not the season. This is the preseason.
I am trying to finagle words now.
Yes.
But how can you not be romantic about the Hall of Fame game?
Because I can't. It's just not in my DNA. Well, then, I apologize.
Well, then this alter your genetics, Callie.
This is one thing I will not budge on. I'm sorry. I genuinely, I have zero interest in watching that game.
It's the appetizer to actual football.
I'm a big give me all the entrees guy. I'm not a big appetizer guy.
I am an apps guy.
I'll eat appetizers for the entree.
I will.
But this is not my entree. My entree starts the first Thursday in September.
It's the first appetizer to the football.
But it sounded like Borat when you said that. It's the first appetizer to the football.
Yes! It is! It's the first game that gets played.
Played in quotes.
No, it's actually played. It's the score is kept.
I know there's it is. Time. Does it count towards a regular season record?
It gets documented in the annals of football history, so it is a game.
Does it count towards the regular season?
No.
Right. That's exactly where I'm at.
But it is it's documented.
Okay.
Scores are kept. Stats are tracked.
I'll give you that. It's documented.
It is documented.
It has no meaning for the regular season, which is the only place I care
about. For some of the players that will not make an NFL roster, it means something to them. Even for those that do make an NFL roster.
I understand that.
It means a lot to them.
I get that. You're trying to pave your way. I understand it from the player point of view. From the viewer point of view, I could care less.
Come on, man.
So many better things I could do my July 31st than watch the Hall of Fame game. Like, I have to carve time out of my summer day.
No, you don't. It's at 8 o'clock. It's at night.
I have to carve time out of my summer evening. Could be having a bonfire.
What are you? Okay, ready? Bonfire?
Nope.
Someone get
the
a projector.
The Hall of Fame game is not going on for the bonfire. That is not happening.
Somebody get a projector. How's it feel with the role reverse here, Joe?
I know. I'm not the provocateur today.
I'm not even provoking. I'm saying that you should enjoy the Hall of Fame game for what it is.
Sitting here with a bag of mixed vegetables on my wrist, getting frustrated about the Hall of Fame game.
Listen, I enjoy it because, ready? You draw the line there. I draw the line at like the XFL or like other football leagues.
Oh, me too.
Being played.
Here's the thing. I'll watch the UFL in the offseason if it's just on, like in the studio or in the newsroom. Sometimes just floating on the TV.
What if the Hall of Fame game just happens to be on?
I'd turn it to something else.
Oh, stop.
No,
it.
I'm provoking you now. No, I probably would
you're
watch
lying
it.
To me. That's what you're
if
doing.
If I'm working at 8 p.m. on a Thursday night, something's wrong and I'm fixing something here, first of all, because that's just, there's an issue. So I wouldn't be watching it here. But if I'm scrolling through and it's just on in the background, sure, I would leave it on.
Now,
I wouldn't turn it off.
Ready? What appointment television are you watching on July 31st that you're just like,
I mean, the rookie likes to come out on Thursday nights on ABC, not to plug. So if they're coming out with a new season at some point, I got to watch that.
Come on, man. Now you're just lying to yourself.
No, I love the rookie.
You're lying.
Nathan Fillion, Guy Gardner.
You're lying to yourself because the NFL has everyone in the palm of their hand. And when the Hall of Fame game gets played, it is the third stone of football is back.
The third stone. The stones of football being back.
We turn the stones.
Here's my big question, okay? And this is partially to do with the Hall of Fame game. I think it's just a way to make this a 12-month-a-year sport, right? And give you that fix early. It's like, we're going to give this to you now. Where are the rivalry jerseys? There was an announcement for the announcement, but the announcement has yet to come.
You know when I think it's going to come?
When? At the Hall of Fame game?
No.
So I'm going to have to watch?
NFL, you have the chance to do the funniest thing ever. I'm not kidding.
I don't know how everyone else feels about the Hall of Fame game. I don't know if I'm in the minority.
No, you're not.
But I'm...
It's the preseason to a preseason. It's like week zero in college football, where sometimes there's a tantalizing matchup in week zero.
I simmed to the regular season.
But it's also called week zero
for
a reason. It is because very often they are games that are not really going to move the needle for you, or it's a bunch of D1 teams playing against FCS schools. And
yeah, that's what UB has done that against Holy Cross, and they got a Hail Mary on them my first year working that.
So sometimes you get incredible results out of it.
Uh-huh.
So this is kind of that in the NFL, where it's the prelude to the preseason, but it still counts as a preseason game. And for these players, it's going to matter. You are going to see absolutely zero starters take the field.
Well, yeah, right.
Like, we could be abundantly clear about that. A coach would have to have a death wish on his job to put someone in there that's a starter. Especially because then you still have three more preseason games after that. But I do find it fascinating. I don't find it fascinating more than I do of it's the third stone to football is back that you have to turn.
I mean, it has been
running.
It's
the keystones that then you just like slowly get to football is back.
Yeah. And it has been running since 1962. So, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm just not going to tune in. That's where I've
Ready, that's your loss. Not my loss. I'll watch it.
I don't know if it's my loss, because that's a few hours of my day I don't lose in the evening.
So
I'd rather build the Millennium Falcon Lego by myself.
Now, you see, that's a time investment. You're not going to get me to argue against you about that one. I'm not going to challenge you on that.
I'm seeing tweets. We're counting down 21 days until the Hall of Fame game on the Reddit thread for the Chargers, and people are liking it. I mean, their team's in it, so I guess they see the prospects. Maybe if the Bills were in it, I'd think differently.
You know, the poll, Evan put a poll out for it. When is football considered back? The Hall of Fame game or the Thursday night football?
It's leaning towards the Hall
opener?
Of Fame game, isn't it?
No, it's 60-40 toward the Thursday night football home opener, like the season's opener.
A lot of people are even saying the beginning of football is when training camp starts.
Yeah.
I would say that is a more appropriate answer. But honestly,
what are the comments?
When veterans report to camp.
No, this one from Pro Football Scribe. During the hour-long thunderstorm delay of the Hall of Fame game. You see, that's someone that gets it.
I get people saying it's the opening of training camp as well, but I'm sorry. Training camp now.
Oh, you're going to regret these words.
I know. The Bills are so good, all right? And I'm going to get on my soapbox here. I'm going to take the mixed vegetables off my wrist so I can speak.
I didn't know that you couldn't without
it's a thought. Okay. The Bills now are so good. For me, training camp is the same old story. Yes, this year might be a little more interesting with a couple position battles on the defense, right? You're getting younger. So this training camp might be a little out of this argument, but years passed, right, to get to this point. Since Josh Allen has come around and they made the wrong decision to start Nathan Peterman and then shove Josh Allen in the first season, that's really been it for training camp. There's other than Diggs maybe not showing up in that whole thing, that was it. It's been the same story in the preseason for how many years now? You got knocked out in a heartbreaker in the playoffs. You got to muster back, get through the regular season, back into the playoffs. I feel like it's wash, rinse, repeat at this point. So
this team does have that.
It's tough to say the training camp is the start. Realistically, the first game of the season for me is where I'm all the way back in. And training camp now is not what training camp was, right? It's guardian caps. It's all this stuff. I think that's great. I'm not discounting that. I'm just saying what you're seeing and what they're advertising as well, like being at training camp, it's become more of a program than it used to be. Callers have called in. So they used to just go watch the Bills practice at training camp. You could just walk up and watch them do it. This is very different. I get it. It's to build team camaraderie, all of that. But for me, it's the regular season start that really gets me back into the swing of things. In the preseason does tickle it a little bit. Like we get close, especially since we have to cover the games. We're getting into the swing of our jobs for the regular season.
It is a dangerous mindset to have, though.
Yeah.
That's why I think I've kind of gravitated toward this of when you say that about the Bills, that was me in 2022 when they actively put together a roster and – no, not 22. It was 23 where they – are running it back one last hurrah with this team, and it was both years, 2022 and 2023, where it was, give me the postseason, everything else doesn't matter. It's a dangerous mindset to have because then you don't enjoy what you actually are watching half the time because you're also kind of who cares? And that's kind of where I've been able to evolve from that mindset because it was Zach that helped me out with that. So I'm going to try to do the same thing here.
Okay.
You should take a vested interest in some of the other teams around the league, even if it is preseason, just to get a notion of they don't even have to be on the Bills' schedule, just for the fascination of it all. Try to find something fascinating about another team. And I'm saying this not just to you, but to anyone. Find fascination with another team. You don't have to like them. You don't even have to hate them.
I do have that.
But it allows you, though, to find fresh angles.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not just waiting for the next Bills game, the next Bills playoff game even. You're trying to find something.
Be an objective NFL fan rather than just a Bills fan.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And also, it could deepen your knowledge across the league, and then you'd be able to have a better measuring of what the Bills are compared to other teams in the league. It doesn't even have to be top teams. You can look at a – ready? As a Sabres fan, I appreciate the hell out of the rest of the National Hockey League.
Yeah. Well,
because I can watch other teams and go, they're not there yet. That makes me sad watching a power play that looks cool. But it allows you to get a vested interest in the league that the team plays in.
And I'll add to that.
And
fantasy football as well does
fantasy football
add that window as well.
Adds to it, but also ruins it.
Does it? I think it just enhances it.
Because sometimes people will just scoreboard or box score watch because the fantasy points.
Well, it depends on the league.
And the context may not be there.
I'm in a dynasty league about to do a rookie draft during training camp, right? That makes me want to pay attention to every training camp and look at what these rookies are up to. So, there are
and you know things. And you know what some of them are going to do? Play in the Hall of Fame game.
Some of them, yeah. But I will not be drafting either anyone from the Chargers or the Lions. So I'm good.
Hey, you know who's playing, though? So that takes – ready? You're already indoctrinated, and you don't even know it yet.
Mm-hmm.
You're already doomed. You're going to text me on Thursday, July 31st. I'm going to be in a different state.
I know.
I'm going to get that text.
I know.
Or I might text you. I'll be like, hey, you watching the Hall of Fame game?
I'm going to text you.
Because I'm going to be in a hotel in Indiana. And I'm going to be like, Joe, you watching the Hall of Fame game? This is crazy.
I'm going to text you an absolute gag as I'm preparing for the Sports Talk Saturday and say, hey, I'm all Hall of Fame game all day on Saturday, all 3 hours.
Also, it gives you something to talk about on Saturday. You could be so Hall of Fame game pilled.
No, no.
Yes. Come on.
No, you just want it.
I do want it.
You want me to cave. I'm not doing it. I might. I might, but I'm not doing it.
I like that you're like, I might, but I'm not doing it, but I might.
I'm teetering, especially if there's nothing else going on, I genuinely would.
See? That was my whole point. How can you not be romantic about the Hall of Fame game?
Well, it's not romantic. It's only because I have to work. It's for my personal interest. It's a selfish interest.
If you love what you do for a living, you never work a day in your life. And if I'm watching the Hall of Fame game, I am enjoying my job, baby. For people that don't know, Joe smashed his wrist on the door handle after the booty cheek of the week, just on accident. He was reaching for something and just like, bam. And it was partially my fault. But I just saw him facepalm with a frozen bag of peas that he has on his wrist because it's my fault because I threw something at him and he bashed his wrist on the door handle. Is that a workers' comp case?
I don't know. No, it's fine. It's fine. We're good.
I just saw for the first time in my life somebody facepalm with a bag of peas. That was actually pretty fascinating.
Anyway, might be the ultimate way to cool down on a hot day like today.
And a way to cool down on the Hall of Fame game hype because it is hot, baby.
Cold as ice.
That's what's on your wrist. Is to get to our over-unders. We're going to start with the NFC first for our way too early over-unders for team wins in the NFC coming up next here on Sports Talk Saturday.
I would have to say Josh Allen, just because I think we've seen him perform better in playoff games against the Chiefs than we've seen Lamar Jackson and the Ravens. You go back to that AFC Championship game a couple of seasons ago that was in Baltimore. The Ravens came in rolling. It was their year. They were all set to do it. And they played basically their worst game of the year that day against the Chiefs. Last year in Buffalo, Lamar Jackson goes in there with a team that really hadn't been turning the ball over, and they commit several key turnovers in a loss to Buffalo in the divisional round. Whereas while Josh Allen hasn't gotten over the hump, we've seen him play some masterful games against the Chiefs and in playoff games.
Dan Graziano of ESPN. Hey, you know what you don't have to hear in the Hall of Fame game? Tired narratives.
You're right about that. I'll give you that.
I'm slowly chipping away at the armor to get him to watch the Hall of Fame game on July 31st. I will report back with an update.
We're getting there.
So what we wanted to do, though, is something that we have fun with predictions, everything like that. And this is something that I've been indirectly involved with for years. So I'm now kind of taking the mantle from it, but Joe DiBiase and I, we used to do this all the time when it was like two of us with the nightcap or things like that, where we would kind of pick the over-unders for a season. And I figured, well, why not? We're in the dog days. It's a perfect sort of a Saturday show as training camp begins for a team, but it's the last of that true, you know, we got to drag our feet a little bit here. So now, in we already did the movie talk yesterday. That was a lot of fun.
That was a lot of fun.
Point show. A lot of you got involved heavy on that. It was great. Mm-hmm. So thank you to all the calls and responses yesterday. So we're like, okay, we burned through that one, so we can't do that. But we've got this here, the over-unders, making predictions of how, on a broad scope, a season is going to go for teams. So with that said, we cannot make any predictions on the NFL without NFL music.
None.
Like, that'd be blasphemous, even, to do that.
That'd be like...
It's like...
The Hall of Fame game.
This is the music of the... You get ready for the Hall of Fame game, baby.
Yeah.
Yes. The Hall of Fame game is not blasphemous. Stop it. What is blasphemous, potentially, is the season of the New York Giants.
I would agree. But also,
they kind of have a generous... So, these over-unders are from BetMGM. The flat line of the over-unders. Because if you go on any of the websites, you can kind of bet on different tiers of them.
Yeah. I already have a bet going, I told you last week, of these. But just at my own discretion of like how... Like, you can go through the range of
them. But the Hall of Fame game is sacrilege. Okay.
Yeah. Not a degenerate, I swear. Back to that.
This is my degeneracy. But the Giants, they're over-under with a different quarterback room, a much more improved quarterback room, 1-3. Giants, 5.5 wins.
I'm looking at their schedule. The first few games are absolutely vile. The Saints are a reprieve in there, but you've got the Commanders, the Cowboys, the Chiefs, the Chargers, the Saints, and the Eagles to start things out. And you have the Eagles twice in 3 weeks after that.
hey, get the ugly part out of the way.
I guess so, because then you have the 49ers. I mean, it really actually doesn't open up. Their opening line before we got to this point, after pre-draft, was 3.5 games. I would have felt a lot more comfortable about them winning 4 games. Winning 6 games if you pick the over, I'm not really feeling that. As much as I trust Russell Wilson and Malik Nabers, their schedule is not a piece of cake for them.
It's not a piece of cake. It's very difficult, but also I do look at it as this. 1 through 3 on their depth chart right now is better than QB1 last year.
Absolutely. I agree with you. One of them will be playing for the Saints, though, playing against them, and Tommy DeVito will be quarterback 3 for them.
But if Tommy DeVito's quarterback 3, that means that quarterback 3 is quarterback 2 last year.
Right.
Which is already a step up.
And has had to start multiple games for you.
Yes.
At different points.
He will not have to unless there's a litany of injuries here. I am very cautiously going to take the over here. I think that 6 is a great... This is a great over-under line of 5.5.
It's perfect for their schedule and their team.
But I could see them getting to 6 wins this year.
I could too. I was confident for them to get to 4, so why wouldn't I say 6? So I'm going to go that way. Because if the line was 3.5, I'd hammer the over.
Yeah. So you under then?
I'm over.
Oh, you're over too?
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
All right.
As much as I think it might be a stretch, that's what gambling is, right?
Yeah.
So I do think they could win 6 games.
Now, that said, when you have an overperformance of somebody, you have to have underperformance from somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I'm going to go ahead and say that. Dallas, oh, you are not back, Cowboys. I feel like it is a team that is in tumultuous waters, oftentimes thanks to their owner. I'm going to go ahead and take the under 7.5 on the Dallas Cowboys. They are more talented, but 7 wins is also under.
Yeah, and I'm just looking, again, I'm kind of just looking through all of their schedules. They start out, I mean, they have the Giants in week 2. That'll be a win.
Will it?
Maybe. I mean, the Giants get to 6. They might have to split with them at that point, so who knows? I think they, just looking, the Jets, they play the Panthers. I don't think I see 7 wins on this schedule. Chiefs, Vikings, Chargers, Commanders. The only 2 wins might come from the Giants and the Jets. And the Giants twice. So that might be 3. I'm going under on the Cowboys. Absolutely. I'm with you on that. Because I'm not comfortable. It's 8 games they have to win.
Even a 7-10 record. Something fell over.
A capped water bottle fell. We're good.
Okay,
but I'm not comfortable at eight wins for that team whatsoever. Even though you do now have George Pickens and CeeDee Lamb, I think they'll get theirs. But I do think the team is flawed still.
I do think, of course, this could backfire in like both of those teams that we just mentioned, the Cowboys and the Giants. It's very easy.
They could flip.
To flip these. These two might be a lot easier. Commanders, 9.5.
Over.
Yes.
The Jaden Daniels, that team, they were flirting with a championship last year. I think year 2 for him, it's only going to go up from here.
It's a strong roster, though, too, overall. That's the other part of it.
Absolutely. And I really like the way they run things over there. They've really moved on from the, I forget his name. Dan Snyder ownership and Sam Hartman. Sam Howell. What was his name?
Oh, Sam Howell at quarterback.
Sam Howell at quarterback. They really moved on from him really well. They built that team around Jaden Daniels. And I think they're 10-plus easily wins. They're going to give the Eagles a run for their money at the top of that division.
Speaking of the Eagles, 11.5.
If they're going to go back to the NFC Championship, I think it has to be over 11.5. It's a conversation we have with the Bills and Chiefs. If you want the one seed, it's got to be over that. I would say over for the Eagles. I do think the Commanders are going to give them a run for their money. They might be more even than you think. I think they could win 12 games, though, the Eagles, easily. And especially in the NFC, lacking a little power compared to the AFC and the entire conference, I think they could get by.
I think Philadelphia wins the division still.
Mm-hmm. You think it's 11 wins?
But I think under is going to happen here.
Okay.
I think that the 11.5 is tough for a team that went through a lot of roster churn.
They did.
And that's the Super Bowl tax. You have to pay it. They did lose a couple of key contributors. 11 wins is still likely to win a division,
mm-hmm.
but it also loses you the bet if you pick over.
Oh, yeah.
So I am picking the under on the Eagles, though I don't love it. It's also because when there's action on one side, there has to be suffering on the other.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I'm going with this.
They do have a schedule where it could vary. I mean, they play the Commanders towards the end of the season twice in 3 games. It's Commanders, Bills, Commanders.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a tough end of season run for them.
It could be also one where they're comfortable in seeding already.
Yeah, and that last game, like the Bills and Patriots last year, the Joe Milton game, they might not be playing their starters. So it might be there at 11 wins. that win 12, they kind of let slip because they're just going to be in their spot. So.
Or they're at 10 wins and you want to, and they have to win one against the Commanders to secure the division. And it has to be against the Commanders. It's not the Bills game, for example.
Like, no.
But
that's going to be an interesting end of season for both of those teams because they could be playing each other for the top spot in that division.
They could have 11 wins by week 18 and be set in their spot.
Yeah.
So that's the other part of it. All right, moving to the NFC North. Lions, 10.5. We're going to start from the top to the bottom this time. I have the Lions at over.
I'm a little
nervous. They're consistent. They're talented. Their roster is strong. Last year, they won 14 games. Was it 14 or 15?
I don't know.
Hang on. I gotta remember that one because that was
It was 15-2. They were with the Chiefs.
They won 15 games with half of their defense out.
Yeah. But
give me the over. I'm not worried about coordinators when talent is talent.
I understand, but also use of talent is huge because I look at the Bills as an example here. And coordinators do play a big part in that. James Cook with Ken Dorsey was not James Cook. Joe Brady comes in. Look at what happens to James Cook. Now he's trying to get that bag, which he deserves. I will say that. Might not be from the Bills, but I think loss of a coordinator, and I'm not saying Dan Campbell's incapable. I don't think he's incapable. I think they're going to flirt right around. I think this is a perfect line for them. I'd say over because I think they do maybe win 11 games, especially at that point, but it's a regression from last season still. So I think 10.5 is a good line for them.
That's the thing. It's like it's still a massive regression if they win 11 games. It's a 4-game drop-off, scarily enough. But it still gets you there.
Yeah.
So Vikings, second in the division last year. Not second in terms of over-under on projections this time. That's the Packers at 9.5.
Yeah. The Packers at 9.5. I think under?
Okay.
I like Jordan Love. I like the Packers. But that division, I think, is going to be between the Lions and Vikings. Even the Lions at 11 wins or whatever. I think it is going to be against them. And that's like looking at the Packers' schedule right now, just glossing over this. They play the Lions to open it up. That's the Thursday night football game. Commanders, Packers, Browns. That's a win. So I'm just looking now. I don't think they do it. I think they go under. I really do. Because they have to play the Vikings, Eagles, Bears, Ravens. I think they're under. I do.
All right. We got to keep things rolling along here. Vikings, 8.5. I've got the over on the Packers, though. I think they're a comfortable 10-11 win team almost always. They're good enough for that. Vikings, 8.5. I'm taking the under here. I do think there's going to be a massive regression from the Vikings from what was severe punching above their weight class last year. And I think that a rookie in J.J. McCarthy coming back from a knee injury, there's going to be a pretty steep learning curve here.
I agree. I'm still thinking they win 9 games because they won 14 last year. So that is a steep drop-off in itself. Kevin O'Connell, though, the head coach.
He is a good coach.
He is a very good coach. He's a former quarterback, so if anybody can get J.J. McCarthy ready to go, look at what he did with Sam Darnold. He restocked his value 100%. So if anyone can get J.J. McCarthy ready to go with Justin Jefferson and the core they have there, it's him.
Actually, I'm going to change that.
I'm going
you
over.
You sold me. I'm going back to over.
I'm going over 8.5.
Yeah,
even
O'Connell's
if it's 9 wins,
coach.
I think 9 wins will do it. Absolutely.
All right, Bears at 8.5. Are you going to do the same thing you did last year?
They have more cause to do that, though, with Ben Johnson now behind the helm. You think he could utilize Caleb Williams a little better, really get the offensive brain of that team working better. Over
8.5.
8.5? Yeah, I think they do.
Somebody has to suffer when you pick overs on 3 different teams.
I know. I had the Packers
down.
You
have the Packers there. I'm having the Bears there. I'm taking the under. I don't think Caleb Williams has it.
Okay.
And
he might not. We didn't see anything splashy from him really last year. I mean, he was fine, but you haven't seen enough. So it's going to be interesting to see what he does.
We haven't seen enough, but what we do need to do is go to break. We'll hit up the NFC South and the NFC West coming up next here. Derek Kramer and Joe Calley. This is Sports Talk Saturday. Derek Kramer, Joe Kelly here with you. Let's finish this up. We got to move fast here. The NFC South, the NFC West. So here we go. Saints.
Turn and burn. Here we go.
With the 4.5. The lowest win total. Can they get to 4.5 wins this year with this roster?
Well, I think Jameis Winston's going to be their quarterback, so I think they win maybe 5 games. So, yes, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say the Saints are over.
I'm looking for the first, like, weird-looking record, and 2-15 looks weird.
Yeah? You like that?
Yes, think that's what I'm picking the under. The Saints are not getting 4.5 wins, especially because their division is all getting better in terms of quality.
Mm-hmm. It's weird to have to look at these schedules and see the Patriots and not be like, oh, that's an easy win.
And ready? Why do I pick the Saints at under? Somebody has to suffer when there's a bump up. I'm picking the Panthers over 6.5 this year. I have them contending for second in the division.
Okay. I'm gonna retract like you did earlier because I'm a Bryce Young believer. And
you think the Saints pay the price?
I'm looking at the Saints schedule right now. they probably maybe win a game or two, like you said. So yes.
Jeez.
The Saints are under 4.5, and the Panthers, I agree, are over. I'm a Bryce Young believer. I want to see him do it after he got benched last year. We were watching games here. We were getting excited watching Bryce Young play football. It was
second half Bryce Young was something else.
And he would keep them in contention with these big names, like the Chiefs. That Chiefs game was huge.
All right, Falcons, 7.5. I think that the Panthers overtake them, and I think that the Falcons are going to Falcon their way to a 7 or 6 win season. I've got Atlanta also hitting an under here. Yeah, you get a couple easy wins against the Saints. But also, the Falcons routinely do this, where they'll choke away a game that they have no business choking. They might lose to the Saints, honestly.
Yeah, the Falcons, after that Super Bowl, that really put the choking on display. Just looking at their schedule on a brief moment here, I don't think I'm under as well. I do like Michael Penix Jr., but 7.5, I'd feel more comfortable if it was like 5.5 over. Then I would hit it. So I think they might get 6 wins.
I'm also going to take Tampa over 9.5 wins this year.
I will too, because they win 10 games and get the 1 seed in their division. That's just kind of how it goes. And Baker Mayfield's a good quarterback. And
they keep loading him with weapons, though, too. Like,
they do.
It's not going to slow down. Tristan Wirfs' injury might be something to look at, but I don't think it ultimately affects their path to the NFC South title.
I think Godwin's coming back as well from injury, too.
But they could win the division with 9 wins. Like, that's a dangerous trap here. But I think that I like the Buccaneers probably as a 10 or 11 win team anyway. All right, NFC West, we got to move fast here. The highest total is the 49ers at 10.5. They expect the 49ers to be back after an injury-filled, miserable year last year. And probably one of the most macabre things that I ever predicted was that San Fran was going to go through a season of injuries.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to be right about that, and I was.
I don't know if they win 11 games, though. I'm feeling 10.
All right.
I would have them under.
I'm also going to have the Niners at under because of the fact that I think that an aging roster like that, that has not had enough churn to it, and you've got Purdy on the big boy contract, so you're going to be able to do less and less now. We don't know how McCaffrey's going to do after he's had tendonitis in both legs. It's tough. It's tough to look at them and see a 10-win team. I think it's a little generous by the books, especially because I like the Rams at over 9.5.
Yeah, I do too. I would take the Rams over at that point. 9.5, I think they could do it. I really do. Puka Nacua, Matt Stafford.
Any team has to suffer when you do that sort of thing, and I think that that's the 49ers. Cardinals and Seahawks both at 8.5 here.
Cardinals with Kyler Murray, they could be spicy, but also Sam Darnold, Jackson Smith and Jigba on the Seahawks. I take the Seahawks over, the Cardinals under.
I'm going to do the opposite. I'm going to have the Seahawks under. Because their offensive line is not good enough to keep Sam Darnold from seeing ghosts.
I forgot about
that. And we're going to get a little bit of old Sam Darnold here. And I think the Cardinals, with an underrated roster, a little bit more consistency from Murray, would get them to being a contender for second in the division as well.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have Arizona at the over, Seattle at the under.
Okay.
We'll come back and we'll start up with the AFC and give ourselves a little bit more time and breathing room here to get that taken care of. Sports Talk Saturday rolls on coming after this. Derek Kramer and Joe Kelly here on WGR.